You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Dribble the ball and kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Jason Lewis with you to look ahead not to League One and Two, as we normally do, but to the FA Cup second round. We're almost at the third round stage now. Things are really holding up and there's some lucrative games being played over the weekend, or at least the potential to be lucrative if they win them. We've got six games to look at. We've got three televised games to look at on what should be a superb weekend of good old-fashioned FA Cup football. Good afternoon, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Probably one of my favourite weekends of the year as a fan of a sort of mainstay football league club throughout the whole history, really, with the dreams of getting a big team in the third round. And you always think fancy your chances against a fellow League One, League Two, or even a non-league side if the draw's something in your favour. So really, it's one of the most exciting weeks, I'd say, as a football league fan to sit here. And the league's out of the way. It doesn't matter about that for a few, if it's effectively 90 minutes. And we can just go out, and the possibility of a trip to Old Trafford or Anfield lies in wait. And it's just so exciting, especially now as a neutral, just to sit and watch these games. And I'll be sat glued to the telly most of the weekend, I imagine.
Yeah, and the way that they're spaced out as well. You've got one game on Friday night, then you've got the normal Saturday 3 o'clock games, and then Sunday one televised game, and then 2 o'clock kickoffs, and one on Monday night as well. It means that you really can drag the entertainment out, can't you?
Yeah, I like the crunch. There's been a few years since I can say I've been pleased with the way they televised the FA Cup, but I think, thankfully, since it's gone back to the BBC and they're working quite closely, it seems, with BT, they've sort of got their act together, and its current structure is pleasing most people, I think, so long may it continue.
We are guaranteed one non-league club in the third round because Stourbridge play Eastleigh on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Hopefully, they'll be joined by at least one other. There is the potential, certainly, for some shocks across the whole weekend. We're going to start with the first game, and there is a potential for a shock here. You would think it's Salford City against Hartlepool Friday at 7:55. Of course, Salford, well, one of their chairmen's gone. he's gone to Valencia. But the way that they beat Notts County was superb in the first round. Since then, their league form has been pretty good. They've won three, drawn one, and lost one. And they come up against a Hartlepool side here who, well, it's a bit of a nightmare tie for them, really, because they cannot come out of this looking good. If they win, then people go, well, we expected that. And if they lose, then it'll be another scalp for Salford. Hartlepool haven't been in the greatest form. They're even money here. Salford are 12-5, and the draw is 23-10. Difficult one for me, this, Jason. Hartlepool are a club fairly close to my heart, but I've got to say that Salford price is massively tempting, given how well they played in the first round.
Very much. It's a very attractive price to kick off the weekend. It was such a good way to start the competition back on the Friday night, earlier in November, really, that Salford managed to, after the televised coverage from their sort of promotion the previous season, to get the win over Notts County, set us off on a great course, really. And sort of an interesting one, that really, when you talk about the Gary Neville thing, that if they had never brought in the investor Salford, he would have probably never thought about employing Gary Neville as a football manager, because he owns Valencia. So it's funny how things turn out. But Salford here, I don't know whether Mr. Neville will be in attendance like he was in the last round. I expect he's got some stuff to sort out over Spain.
I think he's flying over there today, actually. To Spain, that is, not to Salford. So, yeah, he won't be there, but I'm sure he'll be tuning in from his mansion in Spain.
Yeah, I've met his skulls and butt will probably be in attendance, so I'm sure they'll be watching interestingly. But I think it could be another good evening for them, really, here. Just all the stats suggest so that they've been doing sort of mixedly since they won, but where they sit overall in the Northern Premier Division with three games in hand and 3 points behind the league leaders, they can sort of not worry too much about losing ground while they play this weekend. And really 10 wins to nil in all competitions is a strong record for them, and that includes the win against Notts County. So it wasn't like they just scraped them. They outplayed Notts County in that game from start to finish, I think it'd be fair to say. And they don't necessarily score hatfuls of goals, 14 of their 25 matches under 2.5 goals, so that's a possible angle to take. There's no price for that on the console at the moment at the time of recording, but I think that could be one to look at. And but 12-5 and a Salford win against a Hartlepool side who they've actually only played three games since the first round due to a postponement against Accrington. They've lost two and one win, and it's poor form for them, very poor in the league. One win in six, four losses in a draw. Overall away record, 1-3 but lost six. So struggle to really shut up shop and keep themselves close away. And the problem comes with scoring the goals. Eight away goals only this season. Don't think Billy Painter's available this weekend again. So he's the main man that we always talk about for goals for Hartlepool. So really, you've got to be hoping that Salford here can be not just a non-league side in the third round, aside from low down in the Northern Premier. So it's below the conference and or National League and below the regional National League. So be a great story. And I think here, 12-5, there's definite value in that to be backed as a punter, I'd say. And even if you take the draw, no bet on them. But for me, 12-5 is a very good price. Hartlepool just about got past Cheltenham in the first round 1-0. But I can't see them doing so here. And it's going to be Salford in the third round. And could you imagine a trip to Old Trafford? That would just be the fairy tale, really. But we'll have to wait and see.
It would. They've got to get past Hartlepool first. But 12-5, a pretty tempting price, I would say, in that one. The next televised game is on Sunday at midday. It's Rochdale against Bury. Rochdale are 21-20. The draw is 9-4, and Bury are in the betting at 12-5. Interesting one, this one, Jason. You've got Rochdale at home, who have been, well, we'll start by saying, obviously, these two sides in the same division. Bury, who start the season really well, have been on a little bit of a slump of late, particularly away from home. And Rochdale, they're typically fairly good at home. I think that's reflected in the price. Interestingly, that the last few games that these clubs have played have been very tight. Three draws and a 1-0 win to Rochdale the last few times that they have met. And it should be a tight one once again, really, here, shouldn't it?
That's what I say. You say interesting, I say horrible to try and predict. And you look, no real major runs of form other than Bury putting together six wins over September. And then not Rochdale as well after those four draws to alternate between loss, a win, another loss and a win last time out against Port Vale. It's an absolute nightmare to call, really.
And of course, I forgot to say there as well, Jason, it is a derby as well, of course, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You've got that factor. They drew early, only about 6 weeks ago, 0-0 in the league. So you've got the added factor of close friends, David Flitcroft and Keith Hill, the managers here. Flitcroft played under Hill at Rochdale, joined his coaching staff. The pair went to Barnsley. Hill got sacked. Flitcroft got his break in management, kept Barnsley up, then got sacked, took the Bury job. Been doing quite well since he's taken the Bury job. So a lot of backstory here. So you can see why they televised this game. On the face of it, you'd question why they put two League One teams up. But with the story about this game, it definitely should have a bit about it. And it's going to be close. It's going to be edgy. I can't see there being lots of goals, as you say. And really, for me, the main man in this game, all the pressure goes in for Rochdale, Ian Henderson. Three goals scored in as many games for Rochdale. I said earlier, if you've listened to the podcast over the course of the season, that I've been concerned where Rochdale are going to get their goals from. Heavily reliant on Peter Vincenti. And Ian Henderson stepped up now, and three goals in as many games. You can't complain with that. So I'm slightly just backing Rochdale here. I was tempted to go for the draw, but I just think on home turf in front of the cameras should be a really feisty atmosphere in this game. And it could just be a single goal that gets for him. But I think Ian Henderson is the man to get it. And he's there on the headline at 3-1. And Bury just lost each of their last five away games and not claimed a victory away from home since the start of October. Scored just one goal in their last four away games. Only kept two clean sheets in 10 away games. So they're not scoring goals away from home and they're not keeping them out. So basically, it's very difficult for me to back Bury in this game when I look at it. So for me, it's Rochdale. It's going to be a very close game, but I can see there possibly being cards in this one. I wouldn't want to put a bet on cards, but expect the tackles to be flying in. And Rochdale, just to nick it here, probably value just about on their 21-20 price, but certainly if you're looking at headline offer this weekend, Ian Henderson and Rochdale to win at 3-1 is certainly worth a couple of pounds of anyone's money.
Okay. The final televised game is Monday evening, and it's Grimsby against Shrewsbury. 7:45 kick-off time for this one. Grimsby 11-8, the draw 23-10. and Shrewsbury are in the betting at 7-4. Another intriguing contest. We've got Grimsby, who of course are in the National League, coming up against Shrewsbury, who are having an okay season. I wouldn't know which way to go with this one, if I'm being honest. I was a little bit surprised to see Grimsby in as the market leaders, but they're good at home. They're having a solid season, and it should be a good game. This
should be a good game, and yeah, the same thing for me. Really, the prices really nearly threw me on this one because I looked at their form first and thought Grimsby were definitely worth backing this game, but are they worth backing as firm favourites at 11-8? Can you see really say that as sort of National League side, they do sit third? But they are a League One team, not the best of the League One teams. And there's a chance these two teams, what I'm going to put an early prediction out, that these two could both be playing each other in League Two next season. Is a possible shout. But whether you can see at the current stage whether Grimsby are valued at the 11-8, it's a tricky one to say. The way they've been playing recently really helped me support the argument to go for Grimsby in this one.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think when you've got Shrewsbury who are... Well, I said they're having an okay season. They keep showing signs that they're about to spark into life and then follow it up with a poor performance or poor result. Whereas Grimsby are just sort of, particularly recently, steamrolling teams. And the fact that you do have a National League side at home, but there are two divisions between these sides. And I've got to say, I think Shrewsbury are a big price here. But I get completely what you're saying about Grimsby, Jason, as well.
I think that's... We've made the two arguments there exactly, that it is a big two leagues, but then flip side of it, how often do you see sides sort of do a double jump, sort of like Stevenage have going from the Conference to League One? And
yeah,
on their day, I think Grimsby are such a good side in this division, and it's just flashing the plan with Shrewsbury, really. To win 4-2 at Sheffield United is a fantastic result. But then just to lose, okay, losing 3-1 at home to Walsall is not the worst result, but It's just the consistency over the season that concerns me whether they can go here. When Grimsby, you can imagine it's going to be a packed atmosphere here and they're going to be flying. Overall, their home record this season is 8 wins, 3 draws and there's 2 defeats. And they've scored in all but 4 of their games this season. So if they get up in the game, you imagine it's going to be difficult for Shrewsbury. And the way I like this one, if I really wanted to back Grimsby, was the race to 2 goals. Because they've only kept 6 clean sheets this season, but they are certainly flying, scoring the goals at the moment as a club. The last 2 games were 1-0 wins, but they beat Welling 3-1, they beat Barrow 3-1, smashed Halifax 7-0 at home. And then to add to this, Shrewsbury, 6 of their last 7 games, they've lost the race to 2 goals. And they've managed this in a game which they drew 2-2 at Gillingham. And a couple of weeks ago, they actually won a game 4-2, but they still lost the race to 2 goals. Colchester went 2-0 up in that game. So I think here Grimsby could come flying out of the traps, and that means then that you could have the draw here at 2-2, or if you expect a real classic, this game could be of Shrewsbury getting a win, which a 4-2 win at Sheffield United suggests they could well do. But Grimsby's the two really tempting me here. 13-8 gives a bit more value on Grimsby, and you're basically saying, are they good enough to score 2 goals in this game? I think so. And then it's just, can they do it quicker than Shrewsbury, which is obviously the better effect it is, but I think they can. So that'd be the way I play this one. Grimsby race to 2 really stood out in this one. I think it could be, in terms of league position, it'll be the biggest, other than Salford, it'll be the biggest sort of upset of the weekend. And I think it could well happen fairly comfortably for Grimsby.
Okay. No, fair enough. Should be a good game on Monday evening, whatever happens. We'll move to the 3 o'clock games then on Saturday. We'll start with... In fact, no, every game that we're going to look at is on Sunday. We haven't got any of the Saturday games to look at, have we? They're all the Sunday at 2 o'clock games, the remaining three. The first we're going to look at is Peterborough against Luton. Peterborough are priced up at 4-6. The draw is 14-5 and Luton are 100-30. Peterborough have been enjoying a good season so far, playing good football, scoring plenty of goals. They've won 5 in a row now in all competitions, and they come up against the Luton side, who are not having a horrendous season themselves, but they are in League Two. They've not been in the best form. They do tend to go in fits and starts, Luton. They did piece 3 wins together, either side of the win in the first round against Crawley earlier on. And again, early in the season, they did win 4 in a row, but then went 5 without a win. They're currently on a run with 3 without a win. And it's a big ask going to Peterborough and getting something, because Peterborough's home form, particularly recently, has been absolutely superb. As I said, Peterborough at the betting, oh, in the betting, sorry, 4-6, I thought was a perfectly fair price here, Jason.
Perfectly. I think you're getting the value that you'd expect from that sort of bet when you look at the way Peterborough are playing. Really, it's a perfect November for them. 4 wins in the league. So they've beaten Fleetwood at home, smashed Crewe away 5-1, just about got past Barnsley at home 3-2, and then ended them up being Scunthorpe 4-0. And of course, they started the month in this competition being Burton 3-0, which possibly was a bit of a shock result at the time. But credit to Graham Westy, he's got to be up there for manager of the month for November. It's almost gone as far as say it's in the bag for him, really, when that gets announced. I don't know if it's on tomorrow, Friday, or next weekend before the league games. But the way he's been playing, he's really come in early in the season after a sluggish start, and he's got this piece playing and very entertaining brand of football, which is what we come to expect from the boys down London Road. So, really, 14 goals scored in the last 4 games, and they've only conceded 4, which is pretty good by Peterborough standards over the sort of long term. And over 2.5 looks such a safe bet in this one. And at 2-1 on, I didn't really think it's worth touching. But over 3.5 goals gets a bit interesting for me here. 6 of Peterborough's last 7 games have been over 3.5 goals, and this includes 2 defeats. So even if they're down in the game, they're making it entertaining. So 46 goals scored in 20 league games. That's the most in all the football league. So the over 3.5 goals is at 13-10. And I'd say that's almost a better backing than Peterborough to win this game, just because of the price you're getting. And really, I always have a tendency to think in cup games, this should hopefully be a bit more open than a possible cagey league affair. And Luton, John Steele's under all sorts of pressure, Martin, after the, you may say that they're sort of having a steady season, but they recruited quite a lot of players in the summer, and it's not been going all plain sailing, really, for them. And they lost last time against Newport in quite embarrassing fashion, and they let a 3-1 lead slip at home to Carlisle, and he's got the backing of his chairman. But really, what does that mean in football nowadays? I'm not really sure. And when I look at the difference between the sort of two divisions, down here, Luton, they played 5 of the current top 6 in League 2 this season. 4 games have been at home, so, and they lost 3 of these and drew 2. So they haven't actually beaten a top side in their division. This game, they're playing the top side from the division above. So I just think it's going to be too much to ask, even at that price of 130 for Luton. Could be a big one and tempt some people, but I think over 3.5 goals, 13-10. But if you're backing Peterborough, back them with goals as well. Peterborough over 2.5 at 21-20. You're getting, if you think 4-6 or 6-4 on, or 4-6 is too short, get on that 21-20. Peterborough over 2.5 goals. When Peterborough win, it's very rarely less than 2.5 goals in a game. So I think that's where you should be putting your money in this one.
Okay. We'll move to Dagenham and Redbridge against Whitehawk then. Dagenham are priced up at 3-4. The draw 11-4, and Whitehawk are 3-1. Dagenham, of course, in League 2. Whitehawk are in, I think it's the National League South.
Yeah. National League South.
And Dagenham, well, their home form is less than inspiring. The last time that they won at home was the last day of last season when they beat Accrington 4-0. They're without a win at home so far this season. Whitehawk, on the other hand, I know that they are a couple of divisions below, but they've been in really good form recently, having a good season. As you'd expect, I mean, the non-league sides that do tend to get this far in the competition are the better ones, if you like. It's quite hard to fluke your way through so many different rounds of qualifying, etc., and get this far. And, of course, Whitehawk beat Lincoln in the first round, 5-3, in a cracking game. So they have to be respected here, Whitehawk, and it's quite hard taking 3-4 on any side, no matter who they're against, when you know that they haven't won at home for so long. Could this be an upset, Jason?
I've ring-fenced this one as possibly the upset of the non-televised games, and there's several reasons for that, really. Partly because how poorly Dagenham have been at home this season, and it's even away from home, it's one league win in 14. Like, that's not going to inspire me to back them in any match. At the end of the day, it's still 11-11. I know there's differences in division and player standards, but when you've got a Whitehawk side who know that Dagenham are struggling for confidence, you'd expect that Whitehawk will come here and make at least a game of it. And the way they've been playing, not been in staggering, like, amazing form since they progressed past Lincoln, but they've lost one away game all season in all competitions. That's not just in the league, that's all competitions. that came in early, late October against Basingstoke. Their away record in their other games have been 6 wins, 4 draws. So they've proved to be good travellers around the country, really, even when it's come to this competition as well. So all their victories away from home, bar one, have been by a single goal. So if you're fancying a real punt of a bet this weekend, the Whitehawk tie handy, Whitehawk -1 tie handicap, 5-1.
Okay.
You want to back Whitehawk, you're effectively backing several different scores there, the 1-0, the 2-1, the 3-2 and all that.
But at the same
time, real punt.
That isn't a... I expect that to be a little bit bigger, to be honest. I'd rather just back them at threes. It's a big enough price,
yeah,
isn't it? You know,
I think, that's going to come on to, really, that 3-1 is a big enough price. But even for me, a draw no better, 21-10, is a very viable option in this game. That it's worth it for me. That it's effectively just 2-1, but it's still going to be making a bag full of money if they do win the game.
And, and you've got that bit of insurance as well. I mean, talking about Dagenham, they, of course, in the last round, they drew with Morecambe. Earned a replay, were 2-0 down after 7 minutes and won 4-2 away at Morecambe. That was a bit of an upset. You mentioned that they only have the one win in, did you say 14, I think, in the league?
14 league, yeah.
Yeah. That was away at Wimbledon, and I didn't watch the game as such, but I followed it very closely because I did have a bet in the game. And Wimbledon, I think, after about an hour, I think there'd been 12 shots in the game, and all 12 had been for Wimbledon. And then Dagenham hit them with a sucker punch. Jamie Cureton popped up with a goal. And that, well, you know, when you say that that is the only win that they've had in the league for a long time, even that wasn't due to a fantastic performance, you know. So I think there could be a shock here. I'm going with 3-1 Whitehawk. And I'm guessing you're the same, Jason?
Yeah, that'd be me as well. And just another point to cement that, it's really even when Dagenham get an early lead in this game, I wouldn't be too disgruntled because they failed to hold into the lead in 7 games this season. So as long as Whitehawk can stay in the game as long as possible by not getting a 2-0 deficit, which would be very rare for Dagenham to score 2 goals without conceding one, if I'm being honest, no disrespect to them, I think this could be a shock. And in the sort of footballing romantic in me wants it to happen, because to see a conference outside potentially playing a Championship or Premier League team, that really the magic of football in this country. So, well, I think it's not implausible, and the points we've made over the last couple of minutes really should make the punters think twice. But 3-1, it's a very good 3-1 as things goes, to be honest, and I'd be backing it.
I think as much as anything, I'd just be urging people not to put Dagenham in any actors that they're having. I mean, I'm not strongly against them, but I just think you can afford to leave it out, given it is odds on. I know it's not massive.
Yeah, and that
on,
price is not really...
No.
It wouldn't be like... If you're going odds on, normally my odds on an actor, I'm like, tick that off, hopefully it's done by half time.
It's
I'd
one of those ones that you should...
Dagenham,
yeah, you should certainly be thinking about. And if it is in your acca, it's probably the riskiest one that you'll put in, at least. So, okay, the final game is Oxford against Forest Green. Two sides that have been really impressive in their respective leagues so far this season. Oxford, of course, in League Two are having a great time of things. Only the one loss in, well, crikey, quite a lot of games. I'm not going to count them all, but that was at home to Barnet. They've been in fantastic form, Oxford. But Forest Green, I saw them on TV, I'll be going back a couple of months now, I think it was Aldershot that they were on TV.
Yeah, you mentioned that game. I remember mentioning it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Very entertaining game.
They were very, very good, and I know that, you know, I'm not one of those people that watches a game and makes a snap judgment on a team based on that. But I think Forest Green could potentially, I don't want to say cause an upset because they're a good side themselves, but it's another one of those ones that I wouldn't really want to back Oxford at 8-15 just because of the strength of their opposition here. If Oxford were 8-15 in the league, I'd be a little bit cautious. I think there's a very good chance that Forest Green will be in League Two next year. I just think they're a little bit overpriced here. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought a little bit overpriced in the outright market. And the issue came when Forest Green are so strong with the way they're playing, really, for me. And it's a difficult one. But Oxford have been so strong recently with how they've been playing. And it is just sort of a winning pattern. I think this game wholly comes down to, possibly, how Oxford approach it. If they approach it like they've been approaching their recent league games, I think it's very difficult to see Forest Green getting a positive result in this one. But if Oxford sort of switch off and treat it as sort of like, oh, it's a cup, we're focusing on the league, it's just like, if the manager rotates a few players, there's a very chance that, not an upset, but Forest Green will get the result they deserve in this game. And They're unbeaten since the final qualifying round win over Margate in late October. 5 wins and 2 draws in that run. Looking to make the third round for the first time since 2009-10, which unfortunately that time they didn't really get the glamorous tie. They got Notts County away and got knocked out by that on 2-0. So, but in the National League alone, they haven't won an away game since the start of October. But then again, they've progressed through the last 2 rounds of the Cup with away ties. So it's difficult to say how they're going to do. I just think Oxford are a strong team. I didn't want to back them at that 8-15 price, so I was looking for other ways into the game. I didn't see them winning this game at Kansas, so I wasn't really interested in taking out a handicap bet, but the man Kemar Roth netted 11 goals this season, including some absolute crackers that have gone viral around social media. He's on a bit of a funny run at the moment, scoring every third game. Unfortunately, he hasn't scored in his last two. So, if the footballing pattern continues, he should be in score here. And 21-20 is a short price for any goal scorer. But 7 of the 10 games he scored in this season, Oxford have gone on to win. So really, if you want to back Oxford in this game, I'd be advising you to put Kemar Roth in on an anytime win cast at 13-10 with the way I'd see this one. But it's going to be a very close game. I can't see there being a lot of goals. So the unders markets are there as well. Personally, just think, hopefully, Oxford will take this game professionally as a league. Obviously, I'm not questioning their professionalism, but there's just that sort of psychological edge that when you're pushing so hard to get promotion out of League 2, it's been a while, Oxford, that they've been in this League 2 now. They want to get out of and get up into League 1. I just think there could be a tendency for them to switch off. I'm hoping they're not. I hope they're just going to get a win here. And I'm hoping Kemar Roth's going to score the goal, and that's going to be a nice 13-10 win cast landing for Oxford.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Seems a fairly logical point there, but I do like Forest Green. I'd just keep an eye on them.
Yeah. I wouldn't be wholly in the Oxford camp. I wouldn't be throwing...
No, but you're getting a bigger price, aren't you, with the win cast there. So, right then, Naps. We are going to have a bit of difficulty here putting a treble together, purely because Pete Farries has put something that we can't put in a treble. He's gone for an enhanced one, which is Daryl Murphy to score any time and Ipswich to beat Middlesbrough, which is a massive 6-1.
To be fair, I can't begrudge him putting that on. That's a disgusting the high price.
It is. It's a very big price. I suppose the issue is, do Ipswich beat Middlesbrough? But if they do, you'd expect him to score. 6-1.
I'll tell you as well, if he lands that, he's a long way ahead. I was eyeing up a Christmas run.
He'll be unbearable, won't he?
Oh, God, I don't want to listen to next week's podcast.
Well, what it means is that we can't put a treble up as such, but that game is on Friday evening. So you could put that bet on, and if it lands, then you know you've got a bit of money to play with for potentially the double that we're about to put up. I've gone for Burnley at home to Preston. That's Saturday, 3 o'clock. 21-20 in that derby there. I think Burnley will have too much for a Preston side that do love a draw, but I think Burnley are a good price there at just odds against. So Murphy to score, Ipswich to win for Pete. That's 6-1. 21-20 for me about Burnley to beat Preston. In the FA Cup, what's it going to be for you, Jason?
Plenty of interesting upsets as we've gone through in just these sort of 6 games, really. But for me, I don't want to be boring, but I know my expertise come with the two lower leagues of League 1 and League 2. And so I'm going into the Peterborough-Luton game. And I'm going for the Peterborough over 2.5 or over 3.5. I'm going just over 3.5 goals at 13-10.
Okay.
Because I think that just gives me a little bit more to play with. And actually, if Peterborough do win and get over 2.5, fair enough to them. But chances are they should be at least 4 goals in this game, and I'm getting better money for that. So Peterborough just over 3.5 goals, which is at 13-10.
Okay, Peterborough-Luton to be a bit of a goal fest, hopefully, at 13-10 for Jason. If we put those two together, so just Burnley on the outrights, and the over 3.5 in the Peterborough Luton game. If you just give me a second while I find the game.
Well, while we're waiting, we can discuss that I actually landed a nap last week, which I didn't want to mention on air, but now you've given the opportunity.
Go on then.
But yeah, it was Burn finally got a win for me. And just on that note, actually, that brings me on to something I wanted to mention earlier, that teams this week we're going to lose two of possibly the best managers in League 1 and League 2 to the Championship. Dean Smith's gone to Brentford, and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink looks... waiting for the confirmation, but looks pretty much done and dusted against QPR. So
yeah, recording this at 2:45 on Thursday. It's not through yet, but looks pretty likely, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I'm predicting it to be any time, really. And we're looking, really, it's going to be interesting to see how they cope, because that's first and third in the the League One at the moment. Mm. So they've been absolutely flying, and Burn obviously lost their manager last year when they were flying in League Two, and Gary Rowett to Birmingham. They'll be sort of cursing their luck, but at the same time, if they make another astute appointment, it could work out for them again this season. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes with both Burton and Walsall. So that's something to look at over the next month, and could be affecting the way possibly to play your bets, I'd say, over the next couple of weeks at least.
Yeah. No, I think that seems pretty fair. Just getting this this double together in on a very, very slow computer, Jason, but I think we're about there. There we go, 3.71-1. So, well, it's not too bad for a little double, is it?
The fact that our double is less than the single, we won't mention that. But
well, you'd think that ours have a better chance of landing. You would hope so, anyway.
Oh, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah. But fortunately, hope only gets you so far in football.
That is true. But some great stuff to look forward to in the FA Cup this weekend. Enjoy it all, Jason. Best luck with your bets. And the same to you, listeners. And we'll talk to you next week.
Happy betting, guys.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.